Welcome to the Wild Rose Moon Radio Hour.
In every life, some rain must fall, and you'll get wet as your sorrow calls. But the sun will rise on a brand new morn. You'll be warm and dry and freshly born.
With support from the Marshall County Community Foundation, Friends of the Wild Rose Moon, and Judith Robert and Tom Kapusinskas. From historic downtown Plymouth, Indiana, where the Lincoln Highway and Michigan Road cross the banks of the beautiful Yellow River, it's the Wild Rose Moon Radio Hour. Tonight, with musical guest Claudia Schmidt, a guest spot from our very own George Schricker and John Baylor, the Shoot the Moon radio quiz show, and me, your announcer, Andrew Haynes. And now, recorded live from the Wild Rose Moon Performing Arts Center, dudes and dudettes, rose hipsters and ratatouilles, tambourinians and accordionists, here's your mystical maestro of all things lunar or lunatic, your Radio Hour host, George Schricker.
The river goes round, around the bend. The river goes round, round, round till the very end. And when it stops, it starts again. It won't be long till the river goes round. It won't be long till the river goes round and round and round. Thank you so much. Thank you, John. Thank you, Andrew Haynes. It's so nice to have you here today from Plymouth High School. My gosh, thanks for coming in for us. We had a last-minute need, and you are filling it. What do you do over there at Plymouth High School? You're on the speech team, right?
Yes, I do speech and debate, improv club, acting, other musical assortments of things, yes.
Well, it's nice to have you, and I am overjoyed this morning because we have a special guest here, and an inspiration, really an inspiration to me. So I'm so lucky to have Claudia Schmidt with us today.
Thank you.
And Claudia, could we talk a little bit about Amazing Grace?
We can yak and yak all day about Amazing Grace.
Explain to me a little bit about Amazing Grace, because I never was in on the inner circles of that, and you must have been.
Well, it was this amazing, it was a coffee house, and they were all students at Northwestern. They were all brilliant. And they were a bunch of hippies who lived in the house together, you know?
Right.
And they dreamed up this idea of a coffee house. They would see people on the floor. They had a stage, like it was professional, but they didn't want to spend money on chairs. They would cook vegetarian dinners for people. Remember that?
Oh, incredible.
And all ages could show up. And because when it would get crowded, that was the big joke, because they would tell everybody to do the butt shuffle, which meant everybody had to scoot forward a little bit on the floor.
That.
Remember
That's
the butt
great.
Shuffle?
Yeah.
And I don't know how they did this, George, but I mean, they had people come in like Stefan Grappelli and Vassar Clements and
Odetta.
Odetta played there.
Dave Bromberg.
David Bromberg. I mean, yeah. I mean, he was from Chicago. That was a no-brainer. Yeah. But these amazing national, international artists would come and play at this little hippie coffee house. And my boss, actually, who was an old friend of mine, drove me to my first audition, which was a lunchtime audition at Amazing Grace Coffee House.
Well, hey, why don't you share a song with me?
I will. Let's see, do a song that came literally out of a dream some years ago. I did come upon a river of tears, the grief of my sisters and brothers. It had grown so deep, I could not cross over to continue on my journey. It was wild and black, and it threw out a spray that stained my garments blood red. I was filled with fear, I was filled with pain, and I thought I would never cross over. I did build a raft from the bones of my mother who had drowned in that river of sorrow. I did bind those bones, all one to another, with the ropes of the captives now free. I did steer that raft with a long straight pole from a tree that my father had planted. And I set off into that treacherous flow with a trembling hope in my heart. And as I crossed that angry stream, I looked in the water all swirling, and it showed me the faces of the ones I had killed by refusing to fight for their freedom. And it showed me the faces of the ones who had died while trying to end the struggles. And their voices cried out, get to the shore and continue this work we've begun. And the water it dragged, and the water it pulled, and the pain it threatened to drown me. But I held my course and bore down on the pole from the tree that my father had planted. And I fell exhausted onto the shore as the raft splintered all into pieces. Then a smile came to my weary face, for I heard those voices singing songs like tears, songs like rivers. I have carried them all on my journey, and it's these I'll sing until that river runs as dry as the bones of my mother. And it's these I'll sing until that river's but a valley where sorrow once raged.
Well, that was just amazing. I thought of Leonard Cohen's Tower of Song when you were singing that, in the sense that you're expressing a lineage and where that stuff comes from mm-hmm. in you. When did you first start falling in love with the music that was inside of you?
I was in my first choir when I was not even 5 years old, and in my church, I was in the cherub choir. I had my first solo when I was like 5 years old in Jacob's Ladder. Yeah. And singing was always just second nature for me, like breathing. My parents liked to sing, I mean, not in any big serious way, but so we would sing together as a family, sing in the car when we were taking rides. So it was just kind of always there, and not promoted in any big way, but just present. And in the way that I once heard William Stafford, the writer, interviewed, and the interviewer said, when did you start writing? And he said, when did everyone else stop? And that's that's kind of what singing's been like for me. And then my parents gave me a guitar when I was 16. I started writing songs. And suddenly, as a solo performer, I got, the way I describe it is, I got to discover the voice as a fretless instrument, you know, because I could just go anywhere and slide all around. And so that was a part of the learning curve for me, becoming a solo performer.
And I think that's what drew me to your style from the very get-go, was that sort of elastic quality or that freedom that you felt at a very young age with mm-hmm. your voice.
Yeah.
And that just showed, you know, that's hard to find in a young person, that kind of sense of trust in their voice.
Well, you know, my first choir director, my cherub choir director, Dorothea Toms, the one thing I distinctly remember her telling us was, children, if you're going to make a mistake, make a loud one. And so I have spent 45 years perfecting that craft. So, yeah.
Well, perfect it a little more for us with that 12-string guitar of yours.
Well, there was a period of 5 years that I lived in Minneapolis fairly recently. And I lived on a little island right off of downtown Minneapolis called Nicollet Island. And it was really the place where the city of Minneapolis started. And that's where I would have first gone there, because when I would go to play in the 70s, that's where my friends lived, you know. And then all these years later, I ended up moving into one of these affordable income apartments. In the 80s, it became a park. The city took it over and have kind of been preserving it over the years. So I met the woman who lived right across the street from me and her daughter. And then right next to her house was this little park, not even as big as... maybe about the size of this room, which we called Central Park. It was in the middle of the island. And I went away on a road trip, and I came back, and Mary's daughter, Jamaica, who I'd just met, had died. She was this young woman. And I got the story, the backstory. Mary was a single mom raising her daughter. In high school, Jamaica had gotten cancer. She'd beaten the cancer. She'd just finished college, was about to go off into life. Everyone was just so happy for Mary and for Jamaica. And the cancer came back. And the second time around, it took her. And so I came back to this just sadness on the island, you know, this sad feeling, and nobody knows really what to say. And so this song is a true story of a little act that the neighbors pulled together, because you can't... change the fact that something like that happened. You can't remove the sadness, but you can make the environment, at least try to make the environment in which it's happening a little more tolerable. So this has a part for you to help me out with. In the chorus, I sing Jamaica's Tree 3 times. So would you join me in that?
Sad fate, she cried for her baby every night and day. So the neighbors got together and we hatched up a plan to ease Mary's journey through the grievous dark. We all pitched in and bought a little tree, and we planted it right in the park. Right next to Mary's house, we planted it right in the park. But Jamaica's tree, we planted and we watered. Jamaica's tree, watered and we waited. Jamaica's tree, we waited and we watched for the young tree to live just like Jamaica should be. We planted in May, by June it was 90. The summer flowers gone by the 4th of July. Big trees brown by the middle of August. We hope that little tree wouldn't up and die. Now a scant year later, on a rainy May day, the new leaves shine on the healing tree. A ring of red tulips seem to hold her close, and Jamaica lives in memory. Right next to Mary's house, a lovely flowering crab apple tree. A Jamaica's tree, we planted and we watered. Jamaica's tree, we watered and we waited. Jamaica's tree, we waited and we watched for the young tree to bloom just like Jamaica should be. Oh, Jamaica's, we planted and we watered. We watered and we waited. We waited and we watched for the young tree to grow just like Jamaica should be. Yes, she grows for Jamaica and for Mary, and for you and for me.
Ooh. What a beautiful song. And that reminds me also of seeing you perform live again, is that there is so much heartfelt energy in your work, and it's very heart-centered, all your work. Mm-hmm. I've been listening to, kind of been catching up on it, and it's just really remarkable how you've, you know, stayed on course there.
Yeah.
it's really quite something. Thank you so much for sharing that song, and we'll be back in the last half of the show, of course, with more singing and more interview. But now we're going to have a song from a special guest in the next segment, who happens to be me. And and we're also going to have the Shoot the Moon game show. So thanks so much, Claudia. Let's give her a nice hand.
With support from Judith Robert and Tom Kapusinskas, the Marshall County Community Foundation, and the Friends of the Wild Rose Moon, you're listening to the Wild Rose Moon Radio Hour.